strong battery.
Everything is fine.
In our strategy also, we are going to be talking about the vision, because the vision stipulates where we want to take the department as also top management. However, I would want also to indicate that the ministry, you, the culture of building an organization that is really people-centered, it's a process. And we are working on this, and we aim to ensure that our behavior as leadership is also congruent with those values, and we are going to make sure that the culture really, if you go to DWAF, you'll be able to see the demonstration of those values. So we are in the process of getting to that, but we are at the sort of the starting point of instilling a culture of these values. We are bringing, Chair, the mandate. We are aware that you are aware of our mandate. Maybe it's really here, the message we want to convey, Chair, is the message that says, our strategic plan, what we are going to be presenting to you today, will be informed by the mandate. The mandate also informs how we get money from Treasury. The budget process is informed by the mandate. And we are saying the focus of our strategic presentations today also is going to be on the core functions of the department, and regulation being the main function that is going to be given a focus in this specific year. Chair, we've got here alignment with the medium-term strategic framework. The medium-term strategic framework, as I've indicated, is informed by the electorate mandate. And from there, we then find expression from the different priorities as set by government. We have the strategic goal as DWAF of transformation, which is really aligned, speeding up growth. Also, it's important to have alignment at the top level of an organization to make sure that we deliver in terms of what government has aimed to achieve, And we've indicated for you the branches here, the branches that really have to talk to that. And we're saying transformation, corporate services, and the chief operations officer of the department has to demonstrate today how are they contributing to priority number one of government. And then the DDG regions also will be talking to us, to the members about universal access. And that strategic goal is contributing towards massive program to build economic and social infrastructure. And the maintenance of the infrastructure also, the DDG Directorates for Infrastructure Development will be talking to that one. And we also have a strategic goal of pursuing African advancement and hence international cooperation. And we are learning that one to strategic priority number 8 that has been set by government, and the DDG for policy and regulation has to reflect on the strategic goal as we move forward. And also priority number 9, sustainable resource management, and the same DDG for policy and regulation will have, and the regions will have to reflect how are we pursuing the strategic goal of ensuring sustainable and equitable water resources. And priority number 10, building a developmental state, and corporate services and finance, that is about building the capacity of the state to deliver on its mandate. It's the alignment of our institutions, how are they aligned, how are they helping the department to deliver on its mandate, and also how are we creating a culture that is informed by value creation and effectiveness and responsiveness to the public that we are serving. In terms of the branches, Chair, we have the chief operating officer. This is a vacancy, it's a vacant position. This doesn't have, there's no person in that position. Chief internal audit, this position is filled. There is a person, Mr. Masito, in that position. DDG policy and regulation, they are busy with the development of instruments, systems, and policies that aim to deliver on the ground. DDG for infrastructure is responsible for the development of infrastructure and also refurbishment processes around that. Region is really the implementing arm of the department. They are responsible for implementing all the instruments that have been developed by DDG PNR. DDG corporate services, this is support to the department. How do we build capacity in terms of the people we have in the department, in terms of the culture, in terms of the systems, and in terms of the processes to ensure that the line branches are able to deliver, and the CFO, the chief financial officer, in terms of managing the resources and ensure that we remain accountable and we achieve full compliance in terms of the prescripts. Now, Chairperson, I've come to the end of this overview presentation. I'm going to be handing over to DDGs, and I'm expecting the DDGs, we have agreed, Chairperson, that they will go into detail and really be articulating clearly in specific terms what we intend to deliver, and we sort of, chairpersons, said to ourselves, we need to look at the challenges that have been articulated, and our responses need to be talking to the challenges, and we need to be giving these answers. But the first presentation is really around the water situation in the country. That gives a global overview of what are the challenges, what we've been doing, and what we intend to do, and we will welcome your comments in order to move forward. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'll hand over to Dr. Rita.
Thank you, Eddie, DJ. Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, honorable members. I will give an overview, a national picture of the water in South Africa. First, I just need to start, the members have put you into perspective in terms of the rainfall of South Africa, and then to work from that perspective. In South Africa, most of our water is in the eastern part of the country. And as you go from east to west, there you have a gradual decrease in water availability because of also rainfall. Now, this in itself poses a major factor in terms of socioeconomic development for South Africa. Already, substantial transfers, and I come to this, that water is moved from this part of the country into the economic development, and we support six provinces alone from the eastern part of South Africa and also out of Lesotho. So when we talk about water availability and water security, we have to have this picture in terms of South African rainfall in your mind, and also in terms of the engineering solutions that we put on the table to make sure that the rest of the country, this major portion, you can say about 80% of South Africa's people get the water from, and particularly in this part of South Africa where you have a really low rainfall, that is where the major challenges are lying, and the issues of groundwater comes into play here. Only you have then a little pocket here in the Southern Cape and then a little bit in the Western Cape that you have available in terms of the rainfall. So this poses a major challenge for South Africa in terms of its development trajectory. Now, to further put that into perspective, we've got four major basins in South Africa. I'm not talking about the small rivers along the coast here that is high, the short and high runoff, but you have the Orange Basin, as you can see, it includes Lesotho, South Africa, Botswana, Zimbabwe, and Namibia. So there's in total, there's five countries and also Mozambique. So you can see that this, then we have the, sorry, not Mozambique, the Limpopo is the system that out of, you know, four countries, and then you have the whole Komati system this side, and then you have the Lesotho system. So you can see that South Africa, the 60% of our water courses are being shared with our neighbors in terms of the run of them. Therefore, the international obligations also put strain in terms of the availability and water security from our side in terms of the SADC protocol. Next slide. Now, at the 98% assurance level in South Africa, water is considered 7. We have 77% of our rainfall. Water is from surface runoff, 9% is groundwater use, and then 14% from return flows, mostly within the Crocodile West and the Limpopo system, and to an extent also within the Vaal system. So what 99% means is that we can only fail twice in 200 years with regard to the level of supply. I want to give even more that our assurance of supply to Eskom and to Sasol and the other strategic water users is 99.5%. of the assurance of level of supply, and not once we failed in terms of that supply. Now, put that picture into perspective. This is the current situation in South Africa, where we have severe deficits in the Gourets. We have also in the Swati River, then we have in the Olifants, and to an extent within the Komati. And this is the projected scenario in South Africa for 2030 and beyond if we don't do any interventions. We have then a greater within the Breda, we have within the Tourans, Olifants, severe further in your Gourets, then the one in Swati, then the Tugela, then also to an extent your Upper Vaal, and to an extent your Limpopo that comes into play. So this is the scenario that we have. Already we have put into perspective mechanisms, interventions. We built the Bergwater Dam here for Cape Town, We built now the Nandoni Dam. We built in Lavubu. We built now the Whip Dam in the Olifants to supply people. We're going to augment the Makolo River. And then also we're planning to develop then onto the Umzimvubu in more or less the Eastern Cape that we have. So those are the strategic issues that we take into consideration. And my colleague will go in much more detail for the metros. We have done a substantial detail in terms of the serious needs that we do have. Next slide. Now, we do have integrated water resource management planning and the development of infrastructure that we indicated. Our medium-term strategic objectives are the supply is critical in terms of the economy, includes the following, the beneficiary of communities in terms of planning, implementation, and management, and therefore the issues of reconciliation studies is critical. And then, can you just move back, and then obviously we also got your social and environmental responsibilities. And as I've mentioned already, you have your SEDEC protocols in terms of the interbasin transfers with the countries that I've indicated. Next slide. Now, in terms of the growth imperatives for South Africa, economic growth requires additional water supply already within the Crocodile West Limpopo system, the building of power stations of Eskom in the Lafalele area, and we need to transfer that water out of dams in the northwest. We have to augment the valve system to supply that part of South Africa. We have to meet our medium development goals by 2014, and the valve system already, as I've indicated, we got our transfers over the Drakensberg and through from transfers from the Tugela, the Sinku, Tugela, and the Sutu, the augmentations for the western high salts of Mpumalanga, power generation, mining, and also industrial water use. But the issue of transfer of water over long distances are very expensive. I'm coming to that particular slide now. And the issue of economic activities, they have a direct negative impact on the water quality. For instance, asset mine drainage, you have the issue of industrial wastewater that is returned. Obviously, those particular aspects have a direct impact in terms of the water quality, and therefore the downstream users will then be significantly impacted by these particular economic activities. Now, you can look here. I just want to focus in terms of, if you look in terms of the cost of water, your interbasin transfer, this is eight rand out to cubic meters, rand cubic, per cubic meter, compared to desalinization, you know, effluent reuse, and then augmentation from local. As you move from the control in terms of water loss, water use efficiency, from left to right, so does your cost increase. And that has a significant dynamics in terms of economics and financial impacts for South Africa. At the moment, we mostly, or the 8 rand, this is where the focus is at the moment, or where South Africa focused its attention in the last years. And that, you can see the cost of the water towards the greater public of South Africa, that has a significant impact. Obviously, we must focus on these areas where we have quick wins, and that we can then have reduced the cost in terms of building of infrastructure. At the moment, we're building infrastructure to large cost to the fiscus, and this is where we have to focus our attention in terms of most, and my colleague will focus on that. This is just an illustrative economics in terms of water. Now, if you're looking at water, you provide provision of water, you're looking at the economics, the spatial economics, heartland in terms of where you have to provide the water, the areas of South Africa, and that includes your major metros and the sites. And this is from the spatial national framework from South Africa, from the presidency. But you can see, but we must not forget about these communities in these particular areas, where, and obviously the economic activities where it should be taking place. Next slide. Now, if you're talking about water, you have to talk about the value chain. The value chain is that, obviously, you look at a catchment. A catchment consists of your surface runoff, groundwater, and then, obviously, from that perspective, we must have institutions to make sure that we manage the water that are coming into the catchment. We have to look then from the perspective is that how do you store the water, how do you extract, and how do you transfer? We have, again, your institutions that we're having. in the moment, we've got RAF and TCTA, the Transcalan Tunnel Authority, and Regional Water Utilities that make sure that we manage and transfer in terms of the raw bulk water supply to the relevant water use service authorities. You've got the raw water, you've got the water users associations, you've got the local government, you've got your regional utilities that water must treat. And then all of these have a costing. Then you're looking at your distribution network, the bulk, the reticulation, and then also your storm water. And then, obviously, again, here you've got your regional utilities comes into play. And then you have the wastewater treatment that goes back into the catchment. And, again, you have your regional utilities or your water ports and your water service authority to make sure that the wastewater has been treated to the acceptable standards set by the department. So this is the value chain in terms of water that one has to take into mind. Now, water security and water available, you've got two components. First one is, of course, quantity, the sufficient water that we do have at the moment still, and for the industrial. But, however, it takes long to develop to make sure that South Africa has adequate water in terms of its supply. New schemes and its cooperative planning is required that water users and the management of institutions enable that to make sure that we have the necessary institutions in place for the management of our water resources. The next slide. From the quality perspective, I've already indicated that it's essential that the appropriate quality is maintained, that we provide the adequate quality, and that we don't contribute to excessive treatment to the acceptable to the drinking water standards that require for communities. And then the deteriorating water quality potential is a major threat to South Africa, and most of our water can be rendered unfit if we don't look for that. And the main sources of these water qualities, I've already indicated, comes from urban discharge, effluent rivers, high salinity in terms of irrigation, washoff of leachage from mining operations, and washoff from areas with insufficient sanitation, and then also fundamental water quality elements to the water resource management. Now, the storage in South Africa, generally, there is a good storage in South Africa, but this picture must not be misled from a perspective. We got overall plus minus 80% storage in South Africa, but there are two provinces at the moment that are of concern to us, that we've got local drought situation within the Eastern Cape, particularly in some in the Alfred and Zor district municipality, Kasani. There is severe local drought, and obviously some of these areas have been declared disaster areas, and we have visited the Eastern Cape 2 weeks ago and to assess the situation, and our people is on the ground in terms of the local situation with local drought, and obviously we need to have some strategic and immediate intervention, operational interventions in the Eastern Cape. And in Limpopo, last week we were in Limpopo, the Mopani district municipality, that we have also local drought here, and really some of the dams are about 6% and 3%. So the overall storage can look, in terms of Limpopo, very favorable, but there are local drought that have a severe impact in terms of storage within our infrastructure. Next slide. Now, water availability, most of our water, as I've already indicated, from surface water, and you can see already the integrated and the integrated transfer of the systems that we do have, both from the east into the Gauteng area in terms of the use there, and then further down to the northwest to the Northern Cape, then up to Limpopo, and then to the Northern Free State. So this is a very good picture in terms of the percentage, the pie, that we get, total of the 13.2 billion cubic meters of water available. And you can see that where your real availability of water is still within this part of the country that we are planning with. Then the requirements, the biggest use in South Africa, 62%, is irrigation. And obviously here we face a major challenge in terms of efficiency, in terms of productivity, what does the water really contribute to South Africa's economy? And throughout the country, you can see, except for the transfers into the upper valve and to the middle valve, and then to the extent to the middle orange, that agriculture is a very big slice, and then the other one is water for strategic use in terms of the red that we do have. So this is an indicative slide in terms of the water use that we do have in the country. Next slide. This is just the availability, except for the east. The rest of the country is more or mostly in balance or out of balance, or where there's a greater demand for water than there is a supply. And this poses the challenge in terms of what do we make available and how do we make it available. And the current water use match availability yield, there's only this portion that we only got a limited amount that we still have to develop, that we can develop. So therefore, we must diversify our water mix, if we can call it that. Greater utilization of our effluent or return flows, desalinization, or also you have to greater use of your groundwater, and then also to an extent, a better treatment of your mine water that are sitting there, that they're decanting, that they have a water quality problem. So that is the situation. The water resources that's available only in the eastern part of the Eastern Cape in KwaZulu-Natal, and already there's projects in place that we have to develop this and then to transfer to other parts of the country. And then there's limited to no potential developed for further in most of the areas of South Africa. The implications, not much is available for allocation. In some areas that have already been earmarked or over-allocated, catchments are in deficit. And yet we have to be also must make provision for the ecological reserve in most of these allocations. And that has a further a burden on the assurance of supply that can be provided. And what is the potential? Groundwater potential is still 8,000 million cubic meters per annum available, but it's dispersed, it's more localized, and it's ideal for small uses, for towns and villages, and we may increase our number of investments in this, and may also in terms of making it available, but there's also management issues here in terms of certain parts of South Africa, particularly in the Northern Cape, where you do have water quality problems, natural water quality problems, in terms of the quality of the water. All sectors must use water more efficiently. If you look into the future, urban will have to find a way, but it will cost. It will cost in terms of providing water mostly. If you're looking at Cape Town, if you're looking at the further cost of water and Nelson Mandela Bay Metropolitan, if you're looking at the options there, it's going to cost more in terms of looking at the greater issues of desalinization, or even if you need to transport water from other sources. So that is going to cost. My towns, we're looking in terms of where we supply from groundwater that we need to supply that in energy and mining are mostly concentrated in those dry areas of South Africa, as I've indicated, and we have to transport water to that part. And, you know, cost plays a major part in terms of the options that we're looking at in terms of the availability of water. And the other point here is that if you're looking at biofuels requires water. If you going to look in terms of the issues in terms of Africa's water shortage, and the issue of biofuels, that's virtual water that goes in there. So obviously that is a cost to the country. And then irrigation, you know, although there's water, but we're looking at into the issue that how best we can utilize small scale from groundwater, and we're looking also at rainwater harvesting. And obviously this is a major concern in terms of the impact also on the water shortage on agriculture. But agriculture is already the biggest user in South Africa, so therefore we have to look into means and ways how to overcome that. And then lastly, if you look at afforestation, there's only two catchments that we can still look in terms of afforestation. There's the Umzimkhulu and the Umzimvubu in the eastern Cape, the eastern part of the Eastern Cape, and southern KwaZulu-Natal. Reconciliation strategies for the large systems and metros. These will be covered more in detail by my colleague. We have completed for the Western Cape, for the Amatolo system, for the Vowel system, and for the Crocodile system. And we are currently busy with studies for KZN, the coastal metropolitan areas, the Algoa system, Bloemfontein, and the next on the list is the full of the Wilfontein system and the Richard Bay system that we have to cover. And we are also in the next level of study started for all the major towns. We have a three-year program to cover all the studies, to have the necessary information, to plan, to develop, and to manage our resources. And then obviously priority to towns with the largest growth potential and with the biggest problems. And it then follows by the rest of the country. We have to prioritize here. And then we have already covered some of the metropolitans by some of the major studies. Further into the future, solutions entail much more than just additional issues of building infrastructure. The issues of water conservation and demand management comes into focus here. The issue that we must look at is groundwater, much greater potential and the optimal use thereof, particularly where the cities, we've got the Table Mountain aquifers for Cape Town, and then also you're looking at Nelson Mandela Bay Metropolitan in terms of potential and also in terms of desalinization. There's a huge potential for integrated reuse at the coast, but also in the bowel of the system. Most of your major cities, they just discharge their wastewater into the sea. And I think that kind of practice is a policy decision. They have to stop them. They have to reuse that water that are just simply running into the sea. We could reuse it better. More dams and interbasin transfers is inevitable in certain areas. Already we're looking at phase two. That will come as for Sutu Island water, that will come later. Later, and then we must plan ahead on time for the large projects. The last slide, Jefferson, and then obviously the economic crisis also it has an impact on the water. The infrastructure of the building is becoming more expensive, and therefore the availability of funds is a challenge for us. The return of growth put a greater pressure on the water sector. Mining-based developments will require more, particularly in those two catchments, and the reuse will become a standard practice. Final step in coastal areas will be the desalination of water, and then the inland water will become very expensive. And we're looking in terms of inland water only reserved mainly for inland use. Already we transfer from the Orange River into the fish, and should we do that? Those are the questions that we're grappling with. And on that note, Chairperson, I hope that I've whet the appetite of the members here and also to put a perspective in terms of South Africa's water situation. I thank you on that question.
Thank you very much. That was the overview by Dr. Fernando Santos. But I see here you have another presentation. Is it the same thing?
No. Yeah, this is sorry, too.
Or is this for the specific? Okay, all right. I think before we ask questions, I will give the opportunity to members to ask questions on this one before we take the next one. But I see here tea is ready here. Can we break 5 minutes for tea? We did not have tea when we started here, and then we can start the next question. Can we break for 5 minutes for tea?
No, it's not good. And it's quite a lot.
So
it's quite a lot.
You started your job now.
Yes.
You're feeling at home.
Huh?
You're feeling at home.
Yes, so far.
No, no, it's all right. Yes, you should. Yeah, you too.
I know. I will. I wonder if they'll talk about that.
Thank you.
but certain commitments are still okay.
What's the economic one?
So far,
yeah.
Okay, can we start? Can I make a suggestion, Chairperson? Yes, that maybe if we can note our questions and maybe just take all the presentations, maybe to work out easy, but maybe just to report also, Chair, to say Dr. Luyenge yesterday did look after us very well in your absence. He really did warm your seat here. thank you very much. Honorable Ndude, I know that when a member voluntarily said that I can chair the committee, definitely he will do it. There is a suggestion that maybe we should take all the presentation and then after which then we can ask questions because we might take a lot of time for asking questions. Okay. Then that means then before we take Dr. Reuters on the National Water Resources, we'll have to take Dr. Mkhize on the policy and regulation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Honorable members, good afternoon. I will talk about policy and regulation, and I will be responding to some of what my colleague, Dr. Reuters, indicated is the challenges and what it is that the department is doing in as far as those challenges are concerned. The key functional areas include the integrated water resources planning. This is the team that actually on a daily basis looks at water availability, water security in the country. And they do quite a lot in terms of focusing on the trends and the potential demand for water and quickly indicate what it is that the department and this country needs to do in order to satisfy that demand. The other unit is the Water Resources Information Management. These are data collectors, and they synthesize information so that that information is easy to use, particularly for planning and management purposes. Institutional oversight looks at institutions that we have, the department, particularly water boards and road and catchment management areas and the governance thereof. Water ecosystem is the team that is mainly looking at the reserve, the water that we need for the environment, because you don't want to actually take away from the environment. Water use, this is the team that does licensing, as well as water allocation reform. We will be talking more about that in the coming slides. International relations, as my colleague indicated, we share quite a lot of water resources in this country with our neighboring countries, and we have to ensure that warm relationship among all the countries that we share basins with, as well as countries in SADC, because there are protocols that need to be followed. Water services policy, this is the team that looks at ensuring that people do get water, the tariffs are affordable, and the municipality doesn't just put a water meter that stops water flow altogether, because if that happens, then you are impairing the quality of lives of the people. The achievements include the fact that Cabinet approved for the department to do public consultations on Water for Growth and Development Framework. In fact, we would recommend that the copies of the Water for Growth and Development Framework are made available to this committee, because this is one way in which the department wants to respond to all the challenges that we are faced with in the country. And we have also done reconciliation strategies for the four big metros in the country, Gauteng as a province, the city of Cape Town, Etegwini Metro, as well as the Algoa system. Here we look at the trends, the demand for water in those big economic centers, and we look at how much water is available for those economic centers, and if at some time we feel that there's going to be less water than the demand, we then make plans available to our colleagues at infrastructure, my colleague on the left, to say, you better build that dam or you better raise the dam wall so that there's more water on that dam, so that the economic centers do not run short of water at any given time. So in as far as water quantity is concerned, I think the department and the government is doing quite well. We always have these economic centers on our radar screen. We do have challenges in as far as water quality is concerned. I'll talk to that later on. One of our achievements was also the launch of the Blue Drop Certification Program, whereby we evaluated the systems that the municipalities are using in order to provide good quality water to the consumer. We also have an electronic water management quality management system, which is internationally acclaimed to be the best system developed. It was developed in South Africa, whereby municipalities and those that supply water to the people can actually log into the system and report on the water quality that they provide to the communities on a continuous basis. It is done every month, and it is quite an achievement for the country of ours. The challenges that we are faced with is the fact that integrated regulatory framework across the implementation of the National Water Act is quite problematic. Here you have a National Water Act that is so progressive, but to actually implement it is quite a challenge. And even developed countries will find it difficult to actually implement the act that we have. But, of course, that is where we aspire to be, and that's why we have such a progressive act. The water allocation reform program is lagging behind merely because some sections of the act are being used to challenge certain decisions, and as such, water allocation reform is lagging behind. We cannot deliver as much in terms of allocating water to those that have not been given that opportunity to use the resource. The establishment of water management institutions is also quite challenging. Most of these institutions find it difficult to self-sustain, and we are looking at questions like how many institutions should you have, and how do you ensure their sustainability over a long term? The skills capacity is always a problem. We don't have enough engineers in the country in particular, and most municipalities that supply water to the people don't have engineers. And we do support them left, right, and center, but still the problem is just too big. I'm not going to talk to this slide because the acting DG actually touched on it. This is the specific outputs that we have as well as objectives that we have in order to deliver on the challenges. But, of course, this is a five-year strategy, and hopefully it will take us quite a distance towards implementing the Water for Growth and Development Framework. We want to improve water allocation, particularly to the HDI, through licensing and to ensure that rural development projects, particularly those that are identified by our principals and those that we think can benefit this country, do get water. We are also concerned about water quality in our rivers, and we have started some programs such as River Health Program towards ensuring that those systems where the water comes from, the water that is distributed comes from, are managed properly. It's a challenge, but we have programs in place, and we are involved in activities towards ensuring river health program implementation. Water use efficiency. My colleague indicated that water loss control is probably the quick win. And we say before people talk about building new infrastructure, which would be expensive, we must start by looking at what we already have and manage that properly. because it will cost you, for argument's sake, 8 rand per cubic meter to get water from a particular river basin to another, yet it will cost you about a rand or 1.50 rand to actually manage that cubic meter that you already have. And these are the things that we are doing. Next slide. We also have a lot of monitoring stations countrywide where we manage information and make sure that information is reliable, and it helps particularly the planning team so that at any given time we know how much water is available, how much water is in the system. Issues of climate change come in here. Your monitoring system should be able to tell you that the pattern is changing, and as a result you need to act. For instance, on the catchment, when the water flows become low, you know that if you have dams in that system, you either need to raise the dam wall so that you can have much more water to meet the demand for water and things like that. It starts with information that you collect, and you make sure that your information does not have gaps. Water services, I think here we make sure that we look at the issues that come up and the policy aspects of it. For instance, when the city of Cape Town put some meters that suggest that people don't get water on a continuous basis, we need to look at the policy and negotiate with the city of Cape Town to say, much as you are informed by your bylaws, whatever you do should not actually start to challenge the constitution of the land, because access to water is one of the things that are clearly indicated on our constitution. So these are the things that we're doing as far as water services is concerned. But of course, municipalities and other spheres of government have bylaws and laws that are locally specific, which govern the way in which they use such policies. On the right column, we have indicated the money that we invest in some of these programs and activities in millions. Information management is one of the expensive activities, because we also have gauging stations out there that need to be maintained on a continuous basis. Next slide. The effective oversight on institutions. The water boards have to come here every now and again to report. We make sure that they adhere to that and they comply, and we also advise them on a continuous basis as to what can and cannot be done, particularly when it comes to borrowings, because some water boards can borrow much more than they need, and you end up with a water board that in a process commits suicide, because once they've borrowed money which they cannot repay, then it becomes the responsibility of the state. We also ensure the implementation of cooperative agreements. The relationship that we have with Lesotho, the relationship that we have with Namibia, because we share the water, we make sure that that relationship is kept warm on a continuous basis so that we can negotiate better ways of managing the limited resource. And we also strengthen regional institutions. For instance, our minister is going to be the president of AMCAW, African Ministers Council on Water, and that is the committee that actually shares ideas and exchange information on water management and best practices. Next slide. We do have risks that we need to keep attending to and managing. The lack of technical skills. Much as we do a lot of reconciliation strategies to ensure water security, we are also equally aware that we don't have enough people with skills, and it's a major concern. Most of our engineers will be retiring in the next 10 years or so. There is no pool of young people to get in there and get exposed and learn. It's a concern, and we're doing everything. I think Sis Nobu, the acting DG, will be talking to that in her presentation. the non-financial viability of water management institutions, I think this is one reason why we are taking it slow in terms of establishing them, because there's just not enough money to establish the number that we require. But at the same time, most of the water management institutions that we have keep coming back. They cannot sustain their operations, and we are still looking at the ways in which we can actually improve the operation. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you very much, Dr. The only thing that you spoiled the whole thing is about these abbreviations, because from the onset I said that you must avoid using abbreviations, because we are dealing with a new committee of parliament here who are not familiar with these abbreviations. So acting DG, you will have to take it upon yourself and make sure that when you take us through, or whoever will be taking us through, this NWRI branch and whatever, please say the name in full so that members can just note that we can't make out kutungo bana bo referela kubo up. Whether maybe see it, we don't know. Because no, thank you very much, Dr. Mkhize. And then, so the Otata Bange Moku. Oh. We take then a National Water Resources Infrastructure, or Dr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The name is full on the front page. The Madam NWRI stands for Water Resources Infrastructure. It's there, it members. I'm going to follow the same outline as my colleague in terms of the brief that's been given to us. I will look at the key functional areas of the NWRI branch, the overview of the past performance achievements, challenges, the key performance areas, and then the rationale of the selection of the key areas, and then the budget implications. The functional areas of the branch is that the implementation of new bulk water resources infrastructure to meet the social and economic needs and its growth and development, the operations of the water resources infrastructure to secure the supply towards the rest of South Africa, the maintenance of the infrastructure as the maintenance plans and asset management plans, and the procedures required to ensure that infrastructure availability is available on a continual basis, and the strategic asset management thereof. And also, how do we manage the land and the dam surface that we do have, and then overall the rehabilitation and refurbishment of the water resources infrastructure, or commonly known as the Dam Safety Rehabilitation Program. Now, the rationale for the selection of these key performance areas based from the fact is that that the national water resources infrastructure must be developed, operated, maintained in a manner that takes into account risk management, improved our asset maintenance and management programs, and to enhance revenue management. Obviously, the last component is very important. If we want to increase and enhance our capacity, revenue is very critical, and we just cannot just give water for free in terms of where we have investment. Water resources infrastructure, that is, we have to do construction of new infrastructure to increase capacity for water security and water by availability, as my colleague referred to. And also, we've got an infrastructure asset base of 106 billion in terms of the depreciation capital value, and that in itself, it's a huge task in terms of its maintenance. And then to strengthen the position of infrastructure development, upgrading basically the water services plans that are there, requirements and addressing lack of knowledge and ability in our ability and commitments. And then the demands that are on ourselves, as I put in my first presentation, the usage, the planning studies, and undertaking to confirm the fact and identify the interventions where do we do need this kind of infrastructure. Furthermore, to improve governance, discipline, and to inform the institutional arrangements, performance management, and intervention and planning, to get the planning into being project planning specific. Water plays a critical role in culture, the sectoral aspects, and then a high degree of professionalism in practices within the sector itself, engineers, technicians, operators and advisors and artisans funding and financing to improve the infrastructure and the system. You need good financial systems, contributing to a comprehensive monitoring system for integrated infrastructure development, because we use most of the data that my colleague referred to in terms of the monitoring stations, the gauging weirs that we also construct for them, so South Africa has a good understanding in terms of its availability. Then the national infrastructure situation and functional assessment, you have to do on a continual basis do the dam safety inspections and surveillance to make sure that your assets are in good condition. And then asset management strategy in terms of best practice from an international perspective and to make sure that this is the sustainability of your infrastructure. And then to have an integrated infrastructure plan that has been required and maintenance strategies required for infrastructure development as been required by the Planning Commission. Infrastructure development in terms of the past performance, it's already indicated the assets valued at $106 billion. Although this has not been taken forward, the issue in terms of there was a look at cabinet approval in 2005 about the possibility of establishment of a national water resource infrastructure agency, and this is still a political level that we still, but it was then decided that it will not go ahead until there's greater political discussion on this matter. We have implemented the Burke Water Project to stimulate socioeconomic development and growth within the Greater Cape Town metropolitan area with a budget of $1.5 billion. We are completed now with the Vaal River East Subsystem Augmentation Project to a value of $2.7 billion for the strategic institutions of Eskom and Sasol to increase the security of supply. And that was launched in March this year. And since 2004, we have built infrastructure worth of 4.5 billion rand. Furthermore, we have launched a dam safety rehabilitation program at 1.2 billion rand that will be we're completing over the next 5 years. We've initiated this in 2006, where we now doing the first phase of 42 dams in terms of the funds allocated. We have identified opportunities for small hydropower plants, existing dams with the Department of, then Department of Minerals and Energy, now the Department of Energy, to make sure that we have also a greater sustainable supply of electricity for South Africa. We have done a full infrastructure asset management evaluation and implementation of the development of policies and plan. Therefore, in terms of a re-evaluation of the value of our infrastructure, we benchmarked this with best international practices in terms of New Zealand and Canada. We have also undertake those kind of systematic approach and make sure that it's compliance with international standards, and then also the issue of comprehensive tariff setting for most of the water supply that we provide. Now, the infrastructure that is under construction at the moment, as I've indicated, we have completed the Burke Water, the fresh up in Ndoni treatment work we've completed this year at the cost to your right. Those are in millions. The WIP dam is under construction. We will be finishing it off in the financial year 2011 to 2012. The Nyaka treatment work will be completed to supply plus minus 800,000 households within the Bushbuck Ridge area, to in a value, you know, that we completed in total value of 280, the distribution 280 million. And then the Luvuvu distribution network will be completed within also the financial year 2011 to 2012, the cost of 530 million. In total, the infrastructure is 8.8 billion at the moment that we provide in terms of infrastructure. What we planned at the moment, and what we're busy with, some of them will be starting, most of them will be starting this financial year. It's the Olifants River. I apologize, Chairperson, for ORWRD. So, but it's a long name. I just wanted to say that it's the Olifants River Water Resources Development Project. It is the distribution network. In total, the whole project will be 5.2 billion. The dam that we construct now at the moment is 2.2 billion, and for the provision of water on the Nebo Plateau in the Greater Sikukuni District Municipality, and the provision of 800,000 people on the Nebo Plateau within Limpopo. We're going to raise the Hazelmere Dam in KwaZulu-Natal. We will build the Spring Grove Dam. That directive has already been given, and it will be starting soon to increase the security, supply, and availability to the Etiquette Metropolitan, the Ungun Kundlubu, and some of the other adjacent municipalities. We're planning for the Umzimkulu off-channel in the Eastern Cape, the raising of the Glen William Dam here in the Western Cape. That will start this year. We're busy with the designs at the moment to a value of 580 million. The Wamitwa Dam in Limpopo, we're doing the final planning for that dam at a cost of 1.1 billion. The Sikisiki Regional Water Scheme in the Eastern Cape, also to increase the water to communities at 530 million. So in total, the new kind of infrastructure that's coming on, still becoming on stream, it's in the vicinity of 8.1 billion. This excludes the other major projects that were referred to as off-budget projects, such as the Mokolo project in Limpopo for the coal field development of Eskom at a value of 12 billion, the raising of the Mokolo Dam, and also the supply of water to the to the Greater Waterberg District Municipality. That will be done by TCTA, Trans-Skeleton Tunnel Authority. And it also excludes the Sutu Highlands Phase 2, in terms of the announcement that the minister has made early this year at a value of about 7.5 billion rand to augment the valve system, as my colleague referred to, in terms of the studies that have been done. So these are the major infrastructure projects, Chairperson. In more or less in total, if you look in terms of the medium term to the medium term strategic framework, in total plus minus 30 billion rand in terms of infrastructure for the country. But besides that, we're looking at the issues of the operation and maintenance that are very critical. We have got major supply agreements in place with your major water users that indicated. Then also we must agree in terms of the volumes, the bulk volumes agreed with the water users in terms of the issues of efficiency. And then the rehabilitation and refurbishment of our dams to get them at best international international standards that have been set by the International Commission for Large Dams, those photos. Now, take further, as I've indicated, we, one slide back, the implementation of new bulk water infrastructure to meet the social needs, the economic growth development, that is what the next. And if you're looking at this news, I've already indicated these are the purpose. I'm not going to go through that. If you want to, the slides is available, phase two. But, and this is an indication as a layout of the project in terms of its location on the Olifant system and the location in terms of where we provide the water to the communities, basically in Jenfer, Labua, Koma, Taung, and those places that we have, and also the Blackfish Yellow Dam, that we provide water to the Greater Limpopo. Next one, this is just a layout of the bulk water infrastructure that we're going to construct. Next slide. And this is just another schematic in terms of the supply areas that you have a feel in terms of the work that we are doing and how we're putting this in place in terms of the regional water supply schemes. Next slide. The Mokolo one that I've referred to, I've already indicated that in the Crocodile West in Limpopo system. Next one. The Wamitwa Dam, as I've indicated, that's basically for part of the Greater Zanin and the surrounding communities, in addition to the Lataba or the Zanin Dam, and also to serve Middle Lataba, basically get that that supply, sustainable supply because of the drought that we have on a regular basis. The Mgani system, Spring Grove Dam, as I've indicated, with much more detail, the next one. Shloti, there's the Hazelmere Dam that I've referred to. Thank you. Next one, Umzimkulu, this off-channel storage, southern KwaZulu-Natal region, and also the Mkomazi River at the north of the Mtambuna River in terms of the southern supply, that part of the country. Next one. Oh. Then this one is long-term that we have to do on the Fuyoostrof in Northern Cape. When the phase two of the Lesotho Highlands comes on stream and it's built, then you have, in terms of the balance of the whole Orange River, you have to have a balancing dam on the Orange River system to balance that, and that's what we plan in terms of the Fuyoostrof dam to make sure that the protocol that we have with Lesotho and with Botswana that we are not unduly prejudiced those particular countries. Next. The Tugela system is still also long-term planning. After the medium term, if we go with a phase two, we're going with a phase two, then the Tugela is an option also to provide then a much more security in the long term for KwaZulu-Natal and also for parts of the valve system if needed. Just a schematic layout in terms of the two is in the light blue that we can build the Milipane dam on the Bushman system, and then we also have to build them at the Tugela on the Yanas, the Yana dam, to then with pipes then you go into the Kilburn dam, and then you have to then we're going to use the existing pump storage over the Drakensberg into the Staffontein canal, into the Staffontein dam, and then from there the supply to the Vaal system and to the greater, to the Free State and to Gauteng and to the other provinces. The last one is the Lesotho, this is phase two, is the Lesotho Highlands Water Project. As I've indicated already, 7.5 billion. Just the layout. The layout is the Polihari Dam that we're planning, then it links into the Katsi and also the supply from the Mohali Dam. Then from the Katsi is the outlets, using the existing outlets into the Ash River and then into the Vaal system. Basically, next week, the minister will be meeting with the Minister of Natural Resources of Lesotho to sign the pact for that. And I've talked about Glen William Dam, then the building of the Mzimvubu River project in the Eastern Cape, in the eastern part of the Eastern Cape, for a greater supply to the Oatambo, the Alfred and Sotas municipalities, and Chris Hani. Secondly, operations output, 100% level of assurance of supply, where we can, in terms of different users, we must look in terms of the compliance systems, the operating the rules, and also to ensure that our bulk systems are in place and that we adhere to the license conditions. The maintenance of the infrastructure, this is a schematic illustrative picture of the infrastructure in South Africa, the bulk infrastructure and the integrated systems. Most of the systems are located in the eastern part of the country and in the north of the country, and the integrated woven network of moving the water around in South Africa is very clearly illustrated with this particular map in particular. But the infrastructure that we indicate in terms of the assessment model that was done by the South African Institute for Civil Engineers indicates that in the major urban areas of South Africa that your infrastructure is of good condition. It's C+, but when it comes to some of the other area, rural areas, that is a D-. But in overall draft infrastructure, the dams, et cetera, we have got a D+. Infrastructure rating from the South African Institute of Civil Engineers. what you have must look at, that the age profile, most of our infrastructure were built 30 to 40 years ago, so therefore a lot of investment that we put into the maintenance and operations of our infrastructure. And the categories are there on the right-hand side in terms of the asset base that we do have within our water resources infrastructure. And obviously, we have to need also capital replacement costs for this infrastructure to make sure that we sweat them and to use our infrastructure optimally. The remaining useful life, as we see that majority of the remaining of the useful life of our infrastructure is 10 to 30 years, and that in itself poses a major problem and challenge in terms of that we must still operate and maintain and provide water on a daily basis. And this indicates that we need further investment to increase the remaining useful life of our infrastructure. The conditions of our assets is mostly good to fair, and there are areas within the country that we do have some poor to a very poor infrastructure, and therefore the dam safety rehabilitation program that we now ongoing at the moment to make sure that we have the upgraded conditions of the infrastructure. The asset utilization, one of the major issues here is that our assets are utilized optimally. So there is not enough strategic redundancies. What we refer to that, we cannot have a shutdown period in terms of this particular of the infrastructure without having a major impact on the economy of South Africa. So by building much more infrastructure, so you have a greater redundancy, that green piece of the pie, then you can have a better refurbishment and rehabilitation of the infrastructure. And particularly your strategic northern part of the country where your power stations are, the strategic redundancies is a major concern for us. Therefore, we have now embarked in terms of the increase of the water supply to those areas that we do have a greater strategic redundancies and that we don't have a severe crisis there. The development of water resources management plans is just to ensure that we use the dam levels optimally, that potentials that are there for ecotourism and further economic development, and also that the rehabilitation and refurbishment of the water resources infrastructure allow that. The next slide. I'm not going to go into detail. What we say, what we giving here is per province, the dam, and the money that the budget in terms of the dam safety rehabilitation program and the months of construction in terms of the overall dam safety program that we have. You can go per province down, you break it down, and in terms of the total, this again gives you all the dams, all the province, and the money allocated. Next one. Is up to the level of 1.45 billion that we spend on the 5 years for the dam safety rehabilitation program. And then lastly, Chairperson, one of the major issues that's come out again, not only in this committee, but in other engagement that we do have, is that how do we better utilize our infrastructure, our dams, where communities are staying close to these dams and make provision for water for those communities. We cannot defend the matter that where communities are staying close to any of the infrastructure that they don't have access to water. Therefore, the issue of the conversion of dams into multi-purpose dams to make sure that all communities are living close proximity of these particular infrastructure provide with the necessary water. And we are busy with that comprehensive plan program to be completed by the end of September, and then obviously we'll be costing and see that can be executed within the MTEF. The overall challenges, the maintenance backlog that we do still have, the Flakfontein Canal for the Tutuka Power Station that we're undertaking now, the Gamtoos Irrigation Scheme, and then obviously the Eskom supply pipelines. I've referred to bullet two already, and then obviously we have a challenge in terms of whereby the pricing strategy do not give us the necessary revenue because they are still capping with regard to the revenue. Therefore, we have to look at that in terms of the pricing strategy, how to make best with regard to the revenue collection. Then we had a little bit delays in terms of some of the projects, but we've overcome that in terms of support. And my colleagues' challenges in terms of human resources is not unique in terms of artisans, engineers, technicians and project managers, and then the age profile of our water resources, the wiring sector, and therefore the extensive rehabilitation, and then the capital replacement cost for this infrastructure is big, and then the institutional realignment process will also affect in terms of service delivery, and then our human resources is very important, and to retain them and to attract is very important. The cost in budget implications, we're looking at a revenue of 2.1 billion and increase to 2.7 billion, and then we have expenditure budget of $1.1 billion, and we could move up to over $2 billion over the next financial year. Out of this, we maintain, operate, and do the necessary expenditure in terms of the budget and in terms of on our infrastructure. I thank you for creating the opportunity for me to present you this picture. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm sure that members did note everything that we'd like to ask. There's a lot. When you talk about money, then you talk to us. Monitoring and evaluation. Has anyone confused? Or is there anything you want to ask?
Yeah.
What is it? But it's the same thing that I've got here. Monitoring and evaluation, material or TDL. Okay. Then I'll continue. This is fast about it. Any solution? All right. Thanks. I'm sorry about that. Yeah? Then we'll take region strategic output by Ms. Mbatha. Am I right?
Yes, Chair, you are.
Okay,
sure. Thank you, Chair.
So you guys must be finished by 4 o'clock because we want to take the whole hour for questions up to 10 to 5.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, this branch is made up of 9 regions. It's actually the provinces, and we have some chief directors that are responsible for coordination. Chair, from our experience, we thought it would be useful for us as a department to strengthen the provinces because we were acknowledging the strategic importance, the challenges, the need for the department to provide leadership when it comes to water issues in the provinces, given that we don't have a political champion as other portfolios. So we are in the process of doing that. I would really like to spend 2 minutes on this slide because I think this is an area where the committee sometimes feels they are getting a raw deal from the department, where the committee feels they are being let down. In the past, let me explain to you. In the past, from 1994 up to 2005, the department was directly responsible for providing water and sanitation to communities. We did that because we had a new system of local government in place, and the government was acknowledging the fact that there wasn't that capacity at that time. However, we know that constitutionally, Chair, as you know, it is the responsibility of local government to deliver water and sanitation. So as we are progressing with the service delivery process, and at that time, of course, we're also looking at transforming the department so that it strategically places itself to perform its core function. So currently, our current focus is restructuring. My colleague talked about the need to build institutions like the CMAs, but I know the committee is also worried about that we're not moving as fast as we should. My colleague talked about the policy framework. We're finalizing transfers. All the infrastructure that we built during the time when we were responsible for the function is now going to local government, and we are at the final stages. And of course, we have to be concerned about regulation. Chair, we are the first to acknowledge that after the very first election, there was pressure for government to deliver, especially on water. So as a department, we really focused our energies, resources, and everything to support local government in doing that. And we achieved a lot. But looking back, we realized that we made a mistake. We compromised our own core function, which is regulation. And it's only now that we're doing our level best to make sure that whilst we continue to support local government, we maintain a balance by looking at the resources of the country, making sure that they are protected, etc. And that is the work that my two colleagues have talked about. we also have a responsibility to support local governments. I'll be talking about this because I would also like to share some of the challenges where I believe this committee can assist us in taking forward. Chair, in the future, we believe our role should be providing leadership to the sector. There is concern, and the committee is also concerned about water security in the country. They talk about water crisis, and I think the previous presentation talks about some of the programs that we are running to ensure water security. We have, in acknowledgement of that, because we have been there's been concerns in various spheres of government as to whether we are doing enough as a department to make sure that we don't experience the same challenge that the energy sector experienced. And that Water for Growth and Development framework is a very important document, which I believe we need extensive time to share with the committee, because it really addresses systematically how and which programs we should be putting in place, how we prioritize, and the funding requirements. So that is the future: regulation, support rule, governance, information management. We acknowledge, Chair, that given the capacity challenges and everything else at local government, we still have to maintain a very strong supportive role. However, in the past, these are the interventions that we've been involved in, assisting municipalities with putting in place financial management systems, assisting them with free basic services, putting in warm bodies, intervening in water conservation and water demand management. And as a department, we've invested a lot of energy and money into this function. However, as the acting DG did mention initially, National Treasury gives us money according to our core functions. Some of the functions that we find ourselves having to perform as a department are not necessarily funded. However, if anything goes wrong with water, our minister says the president will call me. So in some cases, we find ourselves having to go an extra mile to make sure that we intervene, not only in as far as advisory services are concerned, but actually do the work in other areas. And just on support, despite the energy chair that we have channeled, supporting municipalities, coming up with very innovative ways, it is clear that some municipalities will never be able to perform their functions. This is now where I think this committee has to come in. What needs to be done with municipalities that were allocated powers, where there's given maybe the rural nature, lack of capacity, the population, they are just not able to perform the function. And there is work that I'll be talking about that is being led by the Minister Shitaga, where he's really trying to address this challenge systematically. These are the key functional areas: universal access, water and sanitation, and just a reminder to the committee that the sanitation function is going to human settlement. Now, it has been best practice throughout to have the two combined, and we are anticipating some challenges. However, we are trying to manage that. Now, we're separating sanitation from water. Water is with us, sanitation is with human settlement. It's something that we're going to have to manage. But there are discussions at high level to see how that can be best, and maybe the committee may want to be involved in that as well. We also have to ensure that the operation and maintenance of infrastructure takes place at local government level, and of course, transformation. Through the programs that we're running, what can be the spin-offs? Besides service delivery, how can we create jobs? How can we be creative in building communities that enhancing their skills and ensuring that they participate in development? Okay. This is the overview and rationale of KPAs. This one is so easy, Chair, to align to the medium-term strategic frameworks, access to water. Key performance areas, sorry. Okay. we can go through quickly, Babala, through this. This really shows how the key performance areas relate to the medium-term strategic objectives. Now, looking at the past achievements, provisioning of water and sanitation to clinics and schools is the responsibility of the Department of Health and Education. However, because we were concerned about lack of progress in that area and capacity, the minister took a decision that we could help and assist the Department of Health. So, in as far as clinics are concerned, all rural clinics now do have water and sanitation. However, we acknowledge that in some parts of the Eastern Cape, there are areas, rural clinics that are not serviced, that were supposed to be serviced by the provinces. We are attending to that. We're now working on schools, ensuring that all schools do have water and sanitation, and the target for that is 2010. That is if there is enough funding. So we acknowledge that we still have not achieved 100% in as far as the bucket eradication program is concerned. And it is really due to availability of bulk infrastructure, the fact that communities preferred flush toilets even in cases where there was no water. So we're managing that process. We're helping the municipalities to manage that process. We, from 1994 to date, we're saying 19.7 million people received water. However, Chair, we know you, especially the committee, is aware of areas where taps have gone dry because there isn't proper operation maintenance. And this is really, if we're talking about water security, water for growth and development, this is an area where we need to attend to make sure that the infrastructure that government invested billions in developing is maintained and there's water. So we still have, in essence, a backlog of 4.7 million people without water, and that picture gets even worse if you look at the urban areas, the informal settlements. Next slide. This is the breakdown of the backlogs in terms of provinces. Chair, inserted this slide, it's not in your copy when I heard you talk about Northern Cape. As we can see, KwaZulu-Natal still has the highest backlog population in terms of backlog, the Eastern Cape and Limpopo. Northern Cape, Chair, even though we have a very low percentage in terms of backlog, but if you look at the slide that was presented that stipulated the rainfall patterns, we know that it's a very dry area. That's where communities are mostly relying on groundwater. And our experience is showing that groundwater management at municipal level is a challenge. In fact, there is a view that groundwater itself is a source that is inferior, and people would rather prefer using surface water. It's a mindset that we're going to have to work very hard to change. With regards to sanitation, this is the progress we have made. We're not doing as well as we're doing in water, and we still have about 3.0 households without sanitation. This is a breakdown in terms of provinces. Again, the trend is the same. Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo are leading in terms of the high backlogs. We have a program that we are running to assist municipalities. This one we are directly implementing. So this year we take full accountability, where we're building bulk infrastructure that will support municipalities in their reticulation. With regard to transfers, we are close to finalizing the program, but there are challenges, Chair, which we should acknowledge. The infrastructure, some of the infrastructure that we transfer to municipalities was old. There isn't money to properly operate that infrastructure, and that is why we do have challenges related to pollution, etc. Working for Water, one of the flagship programs in the department, not only because it manages to assist us in conserving water, but because of its innovation around employment creation. This is an area where we're really looking at. If government says we have to create 500,000 jobs this year, this is a program that we're building our hope, and we're trying to be as innovative as possible. Chair, we won awards for 3 consecutive years as the best department in supporting local government. But we still have challenges, and even though we have invested much, we still feel we're running short because of capacity constraints, and not only at local government level, but our own capacity. Compliance monitoring. We have a problem of people, illegal use of water, pollution, etc. This is a problem that we have to acknowledge that it is behind in terms of building its capacity in the department, and it's receiving attention currently. So we believe it's not only about water, giving water to and sanitation to the people. It's also about the spin-offs out of that process. So we say, if we accelerate, if we assist local government in accelerating water and sanitation, we can also, through innovative thinking, create jobs. We have a program that's called Job Creation in Sanitation, where we're encouraging women communities to come together and build co-ops where they have their own companies that build toilets. So we believe we can learn from that. We have to influence the MIG policy to address multiple use of water. Currently, we're just concerned about drinking water. Yes, that is a fact, but what about the role of water in poverty? What can we do to make sure to improve water security, food security, encouraging communities to use water where it is available for food and gardening, etc. Skills development and providing water for development, okay? The cost implications, this is the cost, I'm not going to go into detail, Chair, but the last column really speaks to all the programs, water conservation, water allocation reform that are happening at regional level, and we're looking there over the MTEF period, a total of 4.9 billion rand. These are the challenges facing the sector, and Chair, this is where we really need the wisdom of everyone to tackle the powers and functions. Currently, the accountability of progress that the country is making with regards to the MDGs lies with the Minister of Water. So in other words, it is the Minister of Water and Environment that has to report that we are meeting the MDGs, whereas the service delivery is happening at local government level, and we as a department, our minister does not have authority on what is happening on the ground. We have a very a progressive piece of legislation, the IGR, that is supposed to bridge the gap. However, in reality, Chair, it is posing difficulties in the sense that you really have to rely on the IGR itself. You have to rely on personalities. You have to rely on the relationship that you form with local government to be able to actually influence them to do what they are supposed to do. So it is really a tricky one. If anything goes wrong, the minister has to account, and local government, we don't really have authority. They do take the support and advice from us, but sometimes they refuse to do so. It really depends on if it varies from one municipality to another. Technical capacity, we all know about that. The sustainability of infrastructure, I think Cornelius did talk about that. Communication and cooperation at all spheres of government, down to community level, it's something that we have to work on. Having made reference to the first challenge, I think in future it would help if the committee says we wanna measure, for instance, how we do it with regard to water and sanitation, then it would be nice to have all the departments that are responsible, DPLG, including the municipalities, because if we're just going to say we're doing the support and we're guided by the IGR, Whereas if you call all of us, we can, it's supposed to happen outside the committee, but when it comes to accountability, we believe we can get value, because the fact of the matter is there is a lot of improvement that is required there. Poor cost recovery at local government level and lack of clarity on indigenous policy, and that affects the ability of municipalities to provide free basic water to the poor. Instability and associated leadership problems at local government level. Chair, under normal circumstances, as an official, I wouldn't dare talk about that, but the fact of the matter is it is affecting service delivery. And I think these are the things that Minister Shitaga is challenging. And we're working with the municipalities, we're working on ways, we're advising them on how to create stability for professionals, because professionals at local government level sometimes find it difficult to work in that environment. The typical example is the OR Tambo that was in the papers a few months ago. We had to come up with an intervention plan. It was escalated at president level, and we, despite the fact that we don't have capacity in the Eastern Cape in our regional office, we're going to second municipalities there, and we had to sit down with the municipality, with the district municipality, to say, please create a conducive environment for our engineers to come and help you. We had to put those conditions, because of the history, where people would come, technical people would come in, stay 3 months, and leave. I know we're not supposed to be, we need to shy away from these things, but the fact of the matter is they are affecting service delivery. Planned interventions and integrated approach, I've talked about that. The need for us to work together with housing, local government. So we believe our support to local government has to be much more strategic than it is. The reality is that we have limited resources. We cannot do all the things that we used to do. We say now, because we can't compromise our regulatory function, we need to focus more on support that will lead to compliance to municipalities. Not to say we're not going to support them at all, but we're saying we need to be much, to look at the regulatory sectors. For instance, with municipalities that are polluting, our approach should be, if you want support from the department, take responsibility to put a plan in place to make sure that you deal with issues of pollution. Powers and functions, there's work that the Department of COCT has started, coordination, governance, and traditional affairs. It is groundbreaking. We're very happy with the leadership that this department is showing this regard. It's going to address the powers, municipalities that have been given powers that they can't perform on. So moving forward, there is hope that this one is going to improve. Effective regulation by the department, we have to take a strong stance, Chair, because we're taking the flag for not doing what we're supposed to do. And the sector, the people we're increasingly getting court orders where people are taking the department for letting, for instance, municipalities pollute their water resources. So unless we do effective regulation, we're going to get our government into trouble. Effective cooperation and implementation of the BAL scheme. We have intervention programs. You can move on to the next one. I thought we could also talk about the drought that has affected specifically two provinces, the Eastern Cape and Limpopo, and the interventions. The minister recently had the water imbezzles. The six affected municipalities were declared as disaster areas, and we put in place medium and long-term plans to address water security in those municipalities, and we're also assisting with the development of disaster plans. In some cases, we will be providing water tanks and assisting with communal water with the tankering of water. The same approach was adopted for Limpopo, where the minister specifically went there to meet with the provincial leadership, the premier, the MECs, the councillors, everybody, and we looked at the options.
So we have learned some lessons here and identified our own weaknesses in terms of being proactive managing drought. And we are in the process as a department working on a much more programmatic or rather proactive way of assisting municipalities with drought. We have to acknowledge that in these cases we were sort of caught napping, and that shouldn't be the case if we claim we are the leader in the water sector. These are just dramatic representation that highlights the importance of integrated planning. This pollution is mainly coming from informal settlements, and unless we look at sustainability issues of this nature, we will not be dealing with the problem. Conclusion. Chair, you indicated in your opening remarks the challenges that we're facing as a sector. We also are aware of those challenges. And the experience to date shows that we're going to require very bold decisions. And I think the initiative that Minister Shibata has started is one of those bold interventions. We have to be critical about the way in which we have been doing things. We have to acknowledge that. We have learned lessons as a department. We acknowledge our weaknesses in the past, and we try to do things differently. This is what the acting DG talked about initially when she talked about the change journey, the change process that we have started in the department. We have to improve our collaboration and, of course, clarity of roles and responsibilities between the departments. Currently, after the restructuring and after the appointment of the new ministers, it is still a problem that has to be speeded up as soon as possible. So if we can implement the Water for Growth and Development framework, there will be water security in the country. So it is a very important framework where we not only need your leadership and input, but it requires the whole country to get together. That is why we are excited about your suggestion that you need to get all the role players in one room to tackle the water challenges. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mbasa. We'll take the last one. Presentation of Benson. It would even be more interesting if Salka was amongst ourselves. Let us take then the last one. You're right, Lynn. You go back. I don't have time for things that are not even here. But it is the same. Okay. No, Chair, my worry is that what I was saying, because people were talking about problem of technical capacity, and if at this team we don't talk to that, still there are going to be questions around it. I'm just worried that the team itself, there seem to be no coordination between the support that we're supposed to have. But we need corporate services. Where is it? Keep the chair. The corporate services, finance, say you decide whether we go ahead or we drop it. Because there's corporate services, there's monitoring and evaluation.
Finance needs a lot of time.
Okay.
I told you that when we deal with finances, there are some questions that are going to ask.
Okay.
Which has to do with finances. I'm sure that you won't have a problem of responding to them, because it's some of the document that we are not familiar with.
Okay.
We have one, but unfortunately, we don't have time, but we will make time, because we need all this information. We will, some of this, for instance, the key performance areas and all those things, most of these things have been alluded to by Dr. Reiter, you know, when I go through this thing, yeah. And the finance strategy outputs and what and have you, I think we'll have to put this one aside. We'll deal with this one, AA Finance. Come again? Yes, I do have it. corporate strategic output will be the same thing. Okay, we'll deal with that one because I'm afraid that members are using a parliament transport, so it will leave at 5 o'clock. So, members, do you agree with me? That because there are still three documents that are outstanding. So I need to be guided by yourselves. Whether we deal with the ones that they have already made a presentation to ask questions on them. And then these remaining three, we can deal with this next week. I want members to guide me. Dr. Leon?
No, sir, it will be proper in the manner you are putting it because we can't engage documents that are not in front of us. Let's deal with the ones that are here. And then later, when we have time, you give us an opportunity to engage those documents as well. Thank you.
And besides, Dr. Lienge, I was looking at the importance of those documents, especially the finances, you see? Yeah. Since they are so popular in getting a qualified opinion from NASIC, the Auditor General. So I thought we should take this document, go through these documents, and compare an annual report here, yeah, and see where is the problem, so that when we meet sometime next week, because there is additional information that I will have to discuss with the DG concerning my opening remarks when we started here, so that when they come down, they bring us that additional information, or we bring down some of the stakeholders. So this is a matter of urgency that we are talking about, you know, because at the end you won't understand whether Dr. Rader is saying that we don't have a problem amongst, and then you take the last presentation, you put this in a problem amongst, you don't feel it, whether they feel the way we are feeling it in the portfolio committee, whether they agree with us when we say that we have crisis when it comes to water. You see? Yeah. So I'm saying that we listen to their presentation, we go through their documents that they brought to us, we meet with them next week. Unfortunately, we have to have the same understanding, the portfolio committee of the department, we have to have the same understanding. And we bring along other stakeholders. Everybody has got a part to play here. You must remember that the last meeting or the first meeting that we have, a workshop or whatever, it has been repeated again today that actually, we are not responsible for service delivery. That's what was said, and it has been said again today. We are not responsible. This thing has been transferred to other institutions. We want to know who are those institutions. What role are those institutions playing? You see, if you listen to the presentation, you have that feeling that there is somewhere where the department is figala, my figala, and then they transfer to those institutions. We want to know that the role of those institutions. Whether this transfer has been happening, what is the legislation saying? For instance, the last presenter is saying that we need to sit down, that is the two ministers, that is Ustelo, no, and it is weird, right? When it comes to who is who. But when you listen again, if they say that they are supposed to transfer to local government, it's obvious that Sipelo must take over to local government and see to it, when the water boards were here. They were saying that we are not obliged to work with local, with the municipalities. They decide whether they want to use our services. That's what they were saying here. So those are conflicting statements. So I'm saying that if it needs be that we should have a piece of legislation that will force each and every one of these stakeholders to make sure that we service delivery corner, but there must not be these stumbling blocks that I can work up to here, I can work up to here. But in order for us then to understand that all these stakeholders must all be under the same roof, my understanding. So this meeting, we won't be doing justice if we're saying that we're going to deal with all these things because we are eager to ask some of the questions about things that have been raised here. So I think the proper way is to raise those questions and then this other document, we can deal with them sometime next week. Am I getting a support of that? Yeah. Ms. Lavo, do you agree with me?
Yes, Chair, if we seem to have three meetings, two with water affairs. Well, there's one on Tuesday on the State of the Nation imperatives, and then Wednesday is Water for Growth and Development Framework. So I should imagine that a lot of these issues, like skill shortages would be addressed under the Water for Growth and Development Framework. So in that light,
thank you very much. Then we can then try and put this in one of those meetings next week. Interesting. Okay, then we are open for questions and comments then, members. I've noticed Honorable Lovemore, Honorable Luyenge, Honorable Matebe, and Honorable Morgan. Right.
Thank you, Chair. I have three questions. The first one is about human settlement. I'm honestly, Chair, it feels as if I've been kicked in the stomach. I'm devastated to hear that about sanitation going to human settlements. Perhaps we can just have some explanation of why. I understand it's not the officials who've made the decision, but why? And what implications this is going to have? I mean, first of all, constitutionally, sanitation falls within local government. Housing doesn't. Almost every sanitation problem that we have, I think, in the country at the moment, where we have sewage going into rivers, is caused by unplanned housing developments with respect to the sewage side of things, the sanitation side of things. So it's really a frightening scenario, and the rationale, if you understand it, if you could explain it to us. I wanted to query about the water reserve, Chair. Who takes responsibility for the water reserve? The water reserve is not just, it keeps coming up as the eco reserve, and it's not just the eco reserve, there's the human reserve as well. And we seem to, and again it links to housing and other developments, we seem to be exceeding, in many cases, the reserve, human and ecological, but there should be at least a preliminary determination of the reserve before water is used, before allocations are allowed to be made. But it seems that municipalities are utilizing from rivers without that allocation being, or without that determination having been made. To allow their allocation to be calculated. So the eco reserve obviously is important. I'm asking specifically about the human needs reserve, the water reserve. And then a very specific question, a number of, Dr. Reiter spoke about a number of projects. I'm very interested particularly in the Albany Regional Water Scheme. We have a number of towns in that area that are very close to being without water. Some, Chair Bushman's, for instance, switches off their water between 6 and 6 every night. And they keep getting told that the Albany Regional Water Scheme, which is a transfer scheme from the Gharib, will save them. And I just want a quick indication of whether it will or not. Is it on the cards? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I think Honorable Lovemore has covered me on the human settlement issue, because if the department is not very sure as to whether this function they want to transfer it to human settlement or it remains within the department at this time, because here we are dealing with a business plan of this current financial year. It is not a strategic plan for the 3 years. We are talking this financial year. So if you cannot say this is what we are going to do within this year in relation to this particular matter, then we are doubting Genguna as members of parliament or of the committee if there is honesty or around that particular matter. Because where you put your mouth, there should be money. So if you don't know where to put money, you can't be able to say anything. So if there's nothing that you have to say about something, you must just say, on this particular matter, we have not done anything. Then on the issue of the viability of the water management institution, it's one other issue at DG that you need to be hands-on and be clear about this, because if these institutions cannot be financially viable, whereas they are the cornerstone of service delivery, then we have a problem. Then on asset management of our infrastructure, you know, we don't just talk asset management, but at the same time, we must talk also around the asset management policies, where you also have disposal policies, because in the near future, those assets that are there, if you are not sure as to how long would you dispose of such assets, you'll be in another crisis at the department to say, this infrastructure that we have, these assets went out, but there was nothing that was actually guiding you as to how long must you utilize a particular asset. Then lastly, on this Mzimkulu allocation under Eastern Cape, but the objective is directed at KZN, it doesn't occur well with me. Mzimkulu falls under KZN now. So whatever goes to Mzimkulu, it goes to KZN. It must not be taken as if it is in the Eastern Cape, because if your allocations are informed by anything, you will say a particular amount has been allocated to the Eastern Cape, not saying, but the objective is to address a problem in KZN. So if there was a mistake on that part, that amount of 230 million, it must be taken back and used elsewhere in the Eastern Cape, because intention is good to ensure that you do something in the Eastern Cape because of the infrastructural decay. Ngosi, yes, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, Chair, there was a statement that the beneficiary communities within the new infrastructure must participate in the planning, implementation, and management of those structures. But actually what is happening is the opposite of the statement. I want to know as to how are you monitoring that? Because there are some allegations, for instance, in this WOP CAM project, there are some serious allegations that only powerful individuals within the Skukunet district are the ones who are involved in these things. But the communities surrounding this project do not participate. So how do you monitor this participation? And how involved is your regional directors on this scheme? Because it seems as if the municipalities are the ones who are in charge of these things. The second one, Chair, is regarding the engineers. Professor Dr. Mkhize, yeah, spoke of the engineers who are about to retire. And it has been a practice in this department whereby people retire as engineers and come back as consultants for the department. You find that these people plan something whilst they are still working. And then they come back and tender for this thing that was planned by them. And that they come in and benefit as consultants now. So how do you intend to really deal with this type of situation? Another one is what we call BOTT, Build, Operate, Train, and Transfer. There are some schemes that this department has now transferred to the municipality. So if we can be brief as to how many schemes have now been transferred, and also if there are some monetary mechanisms to make sure that these schemes do not collapse. Another one, Chair, is about the illegal connections. Nobody spoke about it here. And we know there is a massive problem of these illegal connections. In some other areas of Limpopo, they refer to this as connections awaiting meters. But now nobody spoke about them here as to how massive is this problem and how do we intend to deal with it. The other one is regarding waiting for water. There are some serious complaints from other communities whereby people come to the area wearing these yellow T-shirts of waiting for water. And when the ward councillors are being asked as to why do they bring people outside our areas when we are available here and we don't have jobs, you find that ward councillors are not even aware of the presence of these people. How do you relate to the municipalities regarding these things of like waiting for water? I think I'll write my case there. I'm the chairperson.
Thank you, chairperson. I'll start with working for water. Not on a general issue. I'm just interested to know on the specific issue of whether there have been any consequences for the contractor who mistook 150 yellowwoods in the Drakensberg for black wattle recently and cut them down. That happened in March this year. The contractor didn't take particular attention to what the difference between a black wattle and a yellowwood was and removed 150 ancient yellowwoods. So I'm very interested to know what happened and, more importantly, how are you going to prevent that from happening again? That's a specific question. More general questions. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate more and more every time the officials appear before us the frustrations that they have with local government. And I think it's quite a good idea that this committee on a more regular basis bring various officials and ministers before it. And I realize that, you know, you have the different spheres of government have different responsibilities. But, I mean, for instance, one of the things, to use an example, one of the things that, you know, the National Department does say with regards to water service authorities that are not preventing pollution is to institute directive, Section 19.3 directive. Now, that's obviously a very, very good measure, but it's clear that municipalities ignore or don't provide time frames on their implementation plans or just take far too long to do it, which, of course, always accentuates the problems. And one of the things as a committee we may want to do, Chairperson, because I think you have your own process of engagement with sister departments on these kinds of things, and there are different spheres of government, is that I think those kind of things should be regularly called for by our committee. Say every X amount of months, you know, what directive has the minister issued against municipalities? Because it could be valuable information for our oversight role to be able to say, even in a joint engagement with a separate committee, relevant committee, or, you know, in terms of the powers we have as a parliament, as a committee to really call anyone before us, to be able to go to, you know, Nkomati municipality, or call them before us and say, why aren't you acting on your Section 19.3 or any other relevant directive? And I think those are things that we as a committee should talk about, is actually on a regular basis requesting the list of directives you have issued. There is, you know, an imperative to obviously have oversight of the service delivery. You said the buck stops somewhere and it doesn't go all the way down. You have frustrations. And perhaps it is something we can help you with there. I don't know whether you can comment on that or not. It's more a comment, certainly by myself. With regards to pollution, one of the concerns I have, is that the cost of obviously water treatment goes up the more, you know, polluted water is. And we've seen the lists of, you know, the various costs of water from, retreating to desalinization, to transfers, and so on. I want to know how effective from a capacity point of view are you with regards to policing the major polluters, and that would be whether it be industry or mines. That's the first question. Related to that is, are you having problems processing water licenses for mines? I mean, is there a backlog? And the question, it's related to my next question, is that there are a huge amount of new water mining licenses in South Africa at the moment. And, you know, certain provinces are bearing the brunt of those licenses, Mpumalanga, Limpopo in particular. So new areas which are being targeted by prospectors. Now, that is a particular process which is governed by the Department of Mining at the moment. It will in the future be increasingly governed by the Department of Water and Environmental Affairs once the National Environmental Management Act and the relevant portions on the environmental authorization for mines comes into full effect. It's only in about 36 months' time, when the Minister of Water and Environmental Affairs, according to the NEMA Act, which we passed earlier this year in the Environment Committee, you know, the minister will be able to authorize that. But of course, there are some issues of planning in the meantime. And so you obviously have particular responsibility with planning for water, but I mean, equally, there's a huge amount of planning going on in the mining department, and there should be a huge amount of planning going on in the environment department. To summarize, what I mean by this is, for instance, if the Mpumalanga Highveld is being targeted for a huge amount of new coal mines or the water birds. As a country, we have to get a sense of what is actually possible and whether they can be serviced in terms of their water requirements, but also from the environment side, whether in fact it is desirable. But it's not just a case of extracting water, it's also a case of what these mines put back into the water supply. It's a great concern that I personally have. So if you could just talk us through the kind of future planning that you are able to do and whether you actually have any concerns about the large amount, and we mean thousands of new water mining licenses which are on the cards, often many of them very, very small, and not by firms like the big companies, and I'm not by any means suggesting that mining companies with regards to environment are angels, but certainly the smaller mining companies, I would imagine, have a lot harder time of complying with legislation than the big ones would. And then, I mean, aren't we due, in some respects, for another round of El Nino droughts in South Africa? And so there's a large amount of bulk infrastructure which is being planned, and that's all good. But, of course, there might be some very particular challenges on the immediate horizon facing South Africa. And my last question, and this is a more philosophical question, and I'm interested to know the thoughts of perhaps Dr. Raters in particular, and you mentioned the word virtual water, which I'm very au fait with. It was the subject of my master's thesis. Is what as obscure as that sounds, I admit. What engagement, if any, Dr. Raters, are we having as a country, you know, between yourselves and the Agriculture Department on the feasibility, on the actual feasibility of us attempting to satisfy 90% of our food requirements from within South Africa's borders, bearing in mind that there are many areas to our north, particularly to our northeast, which have significant more rainfall than we do and have higher average national rainfall than we do and offer great potential to be the breadbaskets of an entire region. Now, I realize the consequences of my idea in terms of, you know, GDP growth and all of this, but in a sense, if we think with climate climate change, that with decreased runoff, it's going to be harder to grow our own food in the future, at least to the extent that we currently do. We do a very good job of it. Is there not an opportunity here to be saying, from a regional stability point of view, a regional cooperation point of view, that increasingly food production should be moved to other countries where we can in South Africa then increasingly use our water for human consumption, for satisfying the ecological reserve, and for getting greater GDP output per unit of water from the various other needs of our economy, industry, mining, and so forth. And by that way, obviously, create more jobs, grow GDP further. And I say it's philosophical in the sense that I wonder whether, as a country, we can actually have a debate like that, because it is a difficult debate. But I fear that it at least, well, I think it should at least be something on the planning agenda. It's a good initiative also to promote regional stability and regional cooperation. So that is, I think those are my comments for now. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Morgan. It's a pity that we don't have enough time today because there is a lot that we would like to have clarity on acting DG. Dr. Mkhize, your document, now that you are aware that you have these challenges that you understand so well, I think you need to come up with a plan on how to attend to this challenge. See? Because I'm sure that these are not the only challenges, because there are some other challenges that we are aware of, and that we are still wondering whether the department has any plan in place on how to attend to those challenges. Luckily, you were part of all the presentation when we had in the workshop. I see here in your document you say that you are responsible for the effective oversight of institutions. And then you mention in particular water boards. And since you are monitoring the functions of those water boards, I'm sure that you are the first person to become aware if a water board is not functioning or if it has collapsed. And in this regard, and I refer to Namakwa. I refer to Namakwa because we were not aware, because the department never mentioned to us that there is a problem with Namakwa until we called them here, and then we discovered that it's non-functional. So is there a plan to identify all these weaknesses in those institutions, and once you have identified them, and then come up with a way of trying to remedy the situation? You know, in all the departments, you'll hear the problem of lack of skills in all the departments, even in social development. Lack of skill in all the departments. But you don't get a feeling that the management, is there anything that the management is trying to do besides saying that we don't have enough funding to pay for these people and all those years. I just wanted to make an example in the committee that I used to chair. When it comes to forensic labs of staff, when I arrived there, they had very serious problems of skill, of lack of people with skills and with skills, better skills. And then the portfolio committee said to the department, go to the universities, go and recruit the students who have just completed their math and science, because after completing that, they don't have anything to do. Take these students, train these students, and then let the ball roll, let them work. And then by so doing, they managed then to get the institution which was about to collapse the sector. And then I would also then encourage you, because you meet people with special skills, maybe you should also think of taking the same advice of recruiting. Go out there, recruit, get these unemployed students from the last year students in the universities, you know. Get those students, see what is it that we can. I know that you say that after 2 years that you've trained them, after training them, they decided then to go for greener pastures, or you can even take them for as internships, you know. Yeah, then just to try and keep them there.
And Dr. Richter, you know, not maybe it's because I'm just a layman. You know those pictures that you had here in front of us in red and blue and green and white and everything. And if you say that red means these are the people that we're supplying with water, it's just making an example I don't have in front of me. These are the demand and these are the supplies. And then you read out that the supplies are more than the demands. Then you say that, no, we have sufficient water. You see? Yeah. And when you do these things, you must know that you are dealing with people who are involved practically with these things on the ground here. With you, Sisi, when you said, I think it's Limpopo that you mentioned there, about 800,000 people that will be affected by the shortage of water. I agree with you, because if we had enough water or sufficient water, we wouldn't be seated where we are now. Water is a crisis, we have a problem. People are dying in the Eastern Cape. I see here, even in your project, you don't have Free State, but there's no water in Tabanzi. No, I was taken by the sector manager of to the dams in Tabanzi. There are dams are there, but they don't supply water to the communities around them. What Comrade Honorable Matele says about people of a certain area who does not benefit from yourself, then instead, if you are in the Free State and then you come up with people from Gauteng who benefit from that. I'm just making an example, you see? Yeah. So maybe one thing that I should do also, I should also ask for a list of your service providers. Who are your service providers? These people that are getting 5-point-something billion and what and what and what. Who are these people? Maybe the chairperson needs to have that information of who are these people. And the issue of the consultant that was said by Ed Martin, I agree totally. Because people will resign. I know of some who resigned from you, and then they came back and became consultants. I know, I can say names in this department. So I'm saying that if really we want to run a clean sector and try to give what people need to get, and then we need ourselves then to be clean. But otherwise, everything that has been said here, I for one, I'm very much satisfied with the way you put in your presentation to the committee. But there are some questions. The more you talk, the more questions. So I'm saying that you don't have time. I hope that next week, Chileka, you make sure that at least we start earlier so that we should have enough time then to deal with these three remaining documents and then get some responses from yourself. The issue of the communities that are not benefiting from the department, it's a concern to me. So I think members also have got a lot of questions that they can ask you, but I think as for now, let us take those questions that you've asked for yourself, and then you can just respond to some of those and others. I'm sure there are comments from Honorable Morgan, as a person who is familiar with this committee for the past 5 years, has been with this committee. So I think he is also of a great assistance to ourselves to some of the issues that SNL's bonus and again Mesolinium. So I thank you very much for the presentation. Then acting DG will wait then for
add to your question about the service providers. Service providers with contractors and consultants, and also indicators to at what level were they appointed.
Thank you very much, Chair, for the comments. I think we may have to when we come back to look at how we locate the
the challenges. We locate the challenges within the clearly within the strategy. I think there's a need for us to improve because some of the things are there. Maybe it's the packaging. In some cases, it's the way we maybe we package. We may want just to review to just to improve on the way we package. The first question around human settlement, DDG Regions may just want to articulate that clearly because it's in the context of integrated planning that government is embarking. It's not a case of destabilizing, you know, the whole planning. It's really the intention of moving sanitation to human settlement. I think within the proclamation, we may just want to articulate that within the proclamation that has come out. Chair, the issue of, you are correct to say, we have indicated a number of challenges, but maybe the presentation did not, for example, the viability of institutions. I can just indicate to you, this is one area that the minister is also concerned about, to an extent that he is going to announce at ExCom Friday a task team that is going to be looking at the entire institutional arrangement of the department because of the same concerns that we have. So he's setting up a task team that will be reporting to him on how to really unpack the whole issues around the water board. He's just as concerned as you are around water board. So there are, as a sector, interventions from the minister's side also that aim to address that. The sanitation one also, I think, Tali, we do have information on sanitation around what we're doing. It's just that maybe we want to reflect on that. I'm going to request Dr. Reuters to talk on asset management in Zumkulu. Participation of communities, I think, Dr. Reuters, you have to reflect to the member around the social plans. Who were the people that were involved in the development of the social plans around the DOB there that were presented to the department? The issue of, I think that I don't even have to stress this one. It's an issue that is happening. People are coming to as concerned. Maybe one thing I can just mention because I was a member of the GNA cluster, government is looking at reviewing the Public Service Act to counteract the issue, the same thing when people work in government, the following month they come back as consultants, they solve the sort of a review of the Public Service Act that aims to counteract that, but it does happen in the department. Currently, we don't have a legal provision to stop them from coming, but we just need to think about it as a department. In the meantime, what do we do as the Public Service Act also reported to SCOPA? That is something that they're working very seriously. The other one, maybe the chair also, too, we need to report around compliance, illegal connection. I think we need to indicate to the committee that we don't have sufficient capacity in the department. In some cases, we issue directives, but the follow-up on directive is a challenge. But we are working on improving capacity around the whole regulation function. It's an area that we are really grappling and bleeding on the ground in terms of the people that must go out there and do the job. So it's been prioritized as an area to build agent capacity to deal with the illegal connections. The Working for Water Tandaga will talk on that one and the consequences for the contractor. The issue around skills, that's why I was saying we need to talk about it, but I think next week I will be talking about it because it falls under corporate services, and maybe we need to tell you what's happening in terms of the department. However, I think we need also to indicate to the panel that before we established the learning academy in the department, we had serious discussion with academic institutions and the Engineering Council of South Africa to have a seasoned engineer that can go and build the dam. You need 10 years experience. That person must have worked in the planning side of things. That person must have worked in the design side of things. That person must have worked in the information side of things. That person must have worked in the resource-directed measures. So you sort of you need an all-rounder. And to build that person is a process. However, the Learning Academy, we give bursaries. We have partnership with institutions. We identify engineering students. We give them money. And then they have to come back and do a mentoring process with just 5 years. So we have agreed with students that if you take our bursaries, you have to come to government and undergo training. Another challenge then is the whole issue of money and the OSD, the occupational specific dispensation that DPSA, we've been working with DPSA around engineers and scientists, how to really improve that. And I believe that dispensation is also going to help us retain people because it's going to create also career progression without applying. People don't have to apply. to become a senior engineer, so that the process that the PSA is working will create career progression for engineers to progress in the in their careers. And also we need an incentive for your aging workforce. We do have an aging workforce, and the question normally that comes, what are you doing, because you've been having this aging workforce for 5 years. We need an incentive, because people don't automatically, you know, volunteer to train other people. They always ask us, what is in it for me to train this person? So when you are working with the PSA, to have an incentive attached to the your seasoned engineers to be willing to mentor the young ones that are coming up. But I'll talk more to Chairperson next week on the technical skills. The issues, Chairperson, around the drought issues, Dr. Mkize can address that, and also the engagement. How are we engaging with the agricultural sector? You may have just to talk about what we're doing, but I think when we come, Chairperson, next time, we just need to locate the challenges within the business plan. To say, here is a plan, here is a challenge, and this challenge is addressed by this intervention. And that has to come up very clear when we come back with here. And the issue of water availability, you just, Dr. Reiter, you have to talk about that. The debate around the single purpose, I think the chairperson was saying you put a single purpose there that takes water somewhere, and there's people around there, they're not getting that water. And maybe just reinforce what you are doing, what you intend to do around that. But it's something also ministers have been bringing our attention to that issue. Thank you very much. I'll hand over to you, Dr. Keith and colleagues. Okay?
Yes. Maybe before Dr. Mkize responds, so that maybe can add what I'm going to say here. I'm just looking at the, you know, Ms. Mabaso's, slide here on page 9, where, you know, there's some information about drought intervention. My concern there are areas that are seriously affected out there. And this doesn't give me a sense of what has been done exactly and the measures that have been practically taken and the time frame. If one can actually assist, to talk to those, and also be specific in terms of the areas that are directly affected, to say what has been done in the Eastern Cape, what has been done in Limpopo, for instance. If I may just also, before Dr. Richards, speaking, his slides, unfortunately, his pages are not numbered. The slides are not numbered. So it's just one of the pages that are here. I will just say, I think it's the second last page, here. On the, next level, all other towns, I'm seeing here it's talking about a three-year program to cover all towns. Do you mean to cover all towns in South Africa, in all the 9 provinces? Again, for me, this is general, sure. Is not specific. And I think, again, on Ms. Mabaso's one, on the drought interventions, I think the DG of this department some weeks ago or last month spoke about these water tanks that are going to be provided to households. I'm very much interested, because I've seen how people are suffering in the rural areas without the water. I mean, I have said this because I've experienced it, I've seen it. They are literally, areas where there is literally no water. Taps were there that were put 10 or 11 years ago. People have never seen water from those taps. And they are assisted by neighbors. If a neighbor has got tanks, people go and fetch water from there, because even rivers have sort of run dry, or, some growth, forest have, grown, so people just can't go and fetch water. So I'm very much interested when you say water tanks to be provided. I think, again, I need some specifics there, the areas that those, water tanks are being, distributed, and how many are you talking about? Then I would like to have that information by next week at least, when you come back.
Thank you. You just said what I was going to say yesterday, but maybe in order for us to get an accurate information, they need to bring that next week. And also, all clinics. I'm not comfortable with all clinics here, just with most of some of the clinics. Because as a person who's doing oversight, I know there are some clinics in my province being
shut up because there are no water. Toilets are a disaster. So they decided just to move people from those clinics to some other areas. So we can say maybe most or some of the clinics, but not all, because it's not possible. Yeah, I think, Mamun, you are right. Maybe if we can have all those breakdowns, Mamun, back next week when you come back.
Maybe the last comment for me, Chair, is directed to the CFO. If maybe thinks that the department will be able to receive a clean bill of health from the Auditor General this year.
I heard from somebody who was saying to me, hey, we need 2 months, have a certain many bill at clean. No, let's hope it's it. Okay,
so you didn't want me to speak today. My financial issues are deferred further until when you command us to come before you.
I think we are waiting for Dr. Mkhize, because most of the questions DG has responded to, and then the other, she promised that next week she'll bring us the other responses. Né? Yeah, so I think Dr. Mkhize is our way.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the question of water reserve, I think it was asked by Madam Lavmo, particularly the human reserve. That is the first thing that we start with. The reserve is determined by the department. And before you allocate water for other uses, you make sure that human reserve is catered for. It is called Schedule 1. It is called reserve. That one is not negotiable, where people use water for survival. Yeah. But of course, things get complicated when you have El Nino and other forces negating that plan. You have to constantly go back and see where you can squeeze out the water so that this human reserve is always there. Dr. Luyenge's question around viability of water management institutions, the executive DG has spoken about the plan that the minister has. Particularly with water boards, I think the issue there is being paid by municipalities. When the water board has provided service and they've spent money in providing that service, but they don't get paid. Surely, it doesn't matter what sort of business you are in, you are likely to go under, or you are likely to suffer if you don't get paid for all the service and the investment that you have made. With catchment management agencies, that's why we have a few of them. The biggest problem is that you create an institution, the institution is not ready to do what is expected of them, but at the same time they need the budget, and they take the money, they engage a service provider, and it ends up costing you more than you would do it yourself, or sometimes they don't get the product that is expected of that investment, and that's where the issues of viability come in. They keep on coming back asking for more money from the department, but you hardly see the output at the end of the day. It's something that we are looking into and asking ourselves a question, what do we do in moving into the future, because we need a few of these water management institutions. But of course, in terms of them being cornerstones of service delivery, we acknowledge that, and we try to do everything we can to ensure their sustainability. With water boards, that's true, madam. Before they do anything, we evaluate their business plan and where we believe money is going into other things other than the output. We will always, together with them, discuss their business plan and try to persuade them to do what is expected of them. But year in, year out, they come with a business plan that has, if one can put it, inflated figures, and we have to sort of cut them down to say, no, you don't need that kind of money. Because, for instance, Inkomati Management Agency brought a business plan of 42 million rand, and that money was going to come from the department. After negotiation and actually refocusing their activities, they now need 20 million rand. So out of that 20 million, we have specific things that we require. But again, the question is, when they implement, they are likely to take 5 million rand and give it to a PSP for the generation of a catchment management strategy. It is expensive, yes, but you find that it costs the department twice to get that catchment management strategy through using Inkomati Catchment Management Agency. I'll be there. Thank you, madam. On the issue of drought and Africa, or let me say SADC, given the fact that parts of SADC get much more water than we do, I think Mr. Mogan was correct to say it's a hypothetical question. Indeed, they do get more water, more rainfall than we do. However, South Africa has improved its techniques of production, food production. As we go into the future, we are likely to have South Africa refocusing its water resources elsewhere. And that's what we are indicating on the Water for Growth and Development Framework, to say we need to have instruments that will, without government getting into loggerheads with the water users, but a situation whereby by using those instruments, you can actually have our water being used efficiently and possibly getting our food from other parts of the region. But at the same time, the hypothetical part of this is that elsewhere, possibly other than Zimbabwe, production is not at a level where you can sustain the region. Zimbabwe can because they are advanced, but the situation, as we all know, they cannot produce. Mozambique has a lot of water up north, but there is no infrastructure whatsoever, and their soils as well are not as nourished, so the production is likely not to hit the target to sustain SADC. But of course, these are the things that the Department of Agriculture and ourselves will talk about, so that agriculture could release some water for that water to be used in other sectors such as mining. I think, madam, that's the question I could respond to.
Thank you, but it's almost 5 o'clock now. I'll give to Dr. Rester those remaining few minutes before 5 past 5, and then if there's anything that I'll stick with that next week.
Thank you, Chairperson. The one about asset management. You must understand that we do have an asset management policy. We're talking about here about dams in terms of and to disposal of a dam and other associated infrastructure. Those are the kind of issues that one will have to, you will have to think carefully before you can talk about those kind of issues. Because those are public investments that have been made. And nowhere in the world in terms of any asset management policy of some of these things have been disposed of where you have those kind of assets. And obviously the issue is that what we have done from the finance side and from ourselves is about the analysis of the remaining useful life of this dam. That's why I was talked about, and I give you those slides in terms of the state of the assets and the management and the rehabilitation and management there. That is according to the asset management policy that we have and the asset management plans that we have. So if honourable member wants to engage with us in terms of those issues, you're more than welcome to engage with us on a one-on-one discussion and provide you with those kind of information. The other one, obviously, with Mzumkulu, given in terms of the comments being made, Jefferson. The WIP dam, in terms of the implementation of this particular dam, I would like for the honourable member, if need be, those particular aspects, but I'm personally involved with the implementation of the WIP dam. There's a social economic development plan that's on the table. It was signed between the district municipalities, the province, and the national department in terms of what are the targets, what are the issues in terms of the delivery with regard to the WIP dam, et cetera. And it's open in terms of all the contracts and things. And there's a quarterly report. This came last month from the quarterly report in terms of that. So there's a labor forum. We've established in terms of their charter the things are there. And the project has been monitored in terms of what are the targets that is set, et cetera.
The question is about the location of the project, not the details of the project. Where is it? Is the project in KZN or Eastern Cape? That was the question.
Yeah, in terms of the presentation, what I've indicated to you, if you look at the slide, that the project is in Southern KwaZulu-Natal region, the Mzumkulu project. It's there in terms of the off-storage channel.
Sorry, sir. That's what you need to correct. Because initially you said 230 has been allocated to Mzumkulu, Konandondon, Eastern Cape. But when you went to the details, you said the people is to serve the southern part of KZN.
Given the comments that as I said to you, my member, in terms of what I said now, but the issue is that this project is in Southern KZN. That is where it is. But, okay.
Galilee Belt Jungle. It's in Mzumkulu. Mzumkulu is in the Eastern Cape.
Where?
It's
KZN.
So everything is KZN now. There's no Eastern Cape. Okay, so you're
satisfied
now. Then.
Yeah, you can look at the. Yeah.
Eastern Cape is in trouble, man. Give to them.
we will take care of that. As I said, the issues are there, but the presentation is there. Chairperson, I've made the presentation. Then the last one from my side, my colleague have responded to the issue of the. Of the virtual water. In terms of the projects, we will provide you with the service providers in terms of the consultants or the contracts if you need to. We will provide you with all of that in terms of what we're doing in terms of the projects. We can supply you from supply chain in terms of all the people who have been appointed in terms of this particular project. And then
the status of those projects.
Yes, I will.
You might say that we have projects just to find out who the project was there in 2009. It never went ahead, just standing still. And they said we were waiting for completion in 2012. You understand? So we want to know the status of the project.
Okay,
Chair, can I please just have an answer about the Albany Regional Water Scheme before Dr. Rogers finishes?
Chairperson, the issue of the communities and dams, I've responded in my presentation in terms of the method and how we're looking in terms of the communities and putting of the infrastructure. We started with the northwest with the Hung Dam. The whole analysis, as I've indicated, will be finalized by the end of September. I've mentioned that in my presentation. So obviously we have to put in terms of the available resources in terms of our budget. For some of these projects, we do not have the budget as it stands now on on our MTEF. So there is it's a whole planning process, and in terms of what the minister also wants from that, and obviously engage with the CFO. We have done, Dr. McKees will have to help me. The issue with the Albany is that we have done the whole Amatola system and the Algoa system. In terms of the Albany, I will speak on the correction in terms of what are the interventions now at the moment. For us at the moment, we as infrastructure are not directly involved there in terms of the Albany, but we have looked at the Amatola system in terms of the whole system analysis and in terms of what do we need for the whole eastern part of the Eastern Cape, particular Buffalo City and Albany and those and those cases. But the immediate details I will have to provide with you, member, when we come back with regard to this whole aspect. But for myself, in terms of our involvement there as infrastructure within Albany, we are not directly involved there. I'll have to consult with the regional office in terms of what are they doing with regard to that particular that area.
Thank you. Honorable Morgan?
Just some comments on El Nino and where we are with that. And the devastation of the Ripana.
Yes. In the past, in the life cycle that we had El Nino, we had a team that was just specifically focusing on managing drought. That is what we're in the process of reconstituting in the department. Then we're going to have a plan. It's one of the lessons that are coming from the current drought cycle that we're experiencing. So we'll also be planning for that intervention. We call it a response team that is both proactive but can intervene in case of disaster. So at this point in time, we don't have a concrete plan. Once we have established that, we're going to come back to the committee and present.
Thanks, Acting DG. Thank you very much. With your very confident team, it was very interesting. We'll wait then and see next week when we get additional information from you. But I must say that you were good guys. Thanks very much. We are aware of the challenges, but if you hide these challenges, then you are in trouble. But the fact that you highlight these challenges and then the portfolio committee, we must all put together our heads in trying to solve some of these challenges. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week. Thanks, Sisine. Thanks. Okay.
Mm-hmm.